And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan in with you. I am so excited for today's interview, especially after Wednesday on the History Channel. If you watch the History Channel, Forged in Fire, you will have seen a local individual, Seneca Valley alum from Harmony, current Slippery Rock University student. And not only was he on it, but yeah, he won it. So we have Eric Finch on the phone with us today. Eric, congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's a very exciting night last night. Been a long wait, but I'm glad it finally came.
I have a lot of questions. Let's just start from the beginning. So I, like many people, watch these kinds of shows. I know there are so many different themes to these shows where contestants go in and then it's an elimination until you get to the final two. Now, exactly. When did you hear about this? How do you even get to the point of being on this show in the first place?
Yeah, so normally I believe the show has an application process that, you know, Blade Smith will go on, fill out an application, and then wait for a callback from Forged in Fire to come compete on the show. But in my case, I believe it was a little different. I just woke up one morning with an email from Forged in Fire, thought it was fake at first, and kind of went along with it. And it was actually a invite for me to come out to compete with them, which was, you know, very exciting. I didn't really go through much of the application process. They kind of reached out to me first. They found me through my social media pages, and So that was pretty cool.
I'm wondering if it was just like a blanket email, but it doesn't seem like it. It seems like they did some research on you.
Exactly, yeah, which has made it that much better.
Forged in Fire. Tell us what this is about. Again, there are like glass-blowing ones and there are cake shows out there, but Forged in Fire is really different. Go ahead and tell us about it.
Yeah, same idea throughout all those. It's, you know, place for the competition bladesmithing show. So it takes on four bladesmiths. We come in, do three rounds of challenges, and then, you know, there's a winner at the end of it. But it's kind of broken up into three different things. First round challenge is forging a blade. You get certain premise, certain materials, certain restrictions. If you watch my episode, it was all Western themed, and so we had to match a Western Bowie knife. And so we forge the blade, judges look at it, someone gets eliminated, and then moving on to round two, you finish the blade. So you put on the handles, the guards, all that. And then it goes through a round of testing. And then another person's eliminated. And the final two get shown a final weapon. And then we go home and have 4 days to create that.
So remind us how many people started in the competition.
Yeah, so it starts with four people, four smiths.
That's big competition then. Because some of these shows start out with like 10 people and 12 people. And there's quite a few episodes. So was this just one episode or how?
Yeah, this is a single episode. Every episode, it's pretty much the four new smiths come in and compete.
Okay.
So it's every episode different challenges. You know, ours was what they put in the promo as the most unique first round challenge they've ever had on the show. Because normally you get 3 hours counting down, whereas we got our time counting up. And depending on who was the first one to complete it, you know, they got advantages in the second round. So it was very different. We also had to replicate a knife, which usually they just tell you can make your own style or make this certain style of knife, whereas we had to perfectly replicate a knife.
So you are a junior safety management major at Slippery Rock University. Do you do this as part of your major? Do you just do this on the side? Is this just an interest? Tell us about you and how you started working with this.
Yeah. So around 4 years ago, my mom signed up my dad, my brother, and I for a basic blacksmithing class. So just working with steel. I was on an 8-hour course. We went and made some S-hooks, some stake flippers, and just wall hooks, really simple things. And at that time, I was junior in high school at Seneca Valley in a welding shop class. It was towards the end of the year, so our welding shop teacher let us make a final project of whatever we wanted. And so I took the opportunity to make myself a coal forge. It was the first forge I ever had. I built it there in school, and from there, I just kind of jumped into it. Started making little bottle openers and hooks, and then slowly started making blade-shaped things, and that just slowly led into the knives and pretty much took off from there. I got addicted with it. I have a ton of tools, small shop, but it's well-packed, and it just keeps growing from there. But safety-wise, yeah, not really much of a connection there. I always try to connect as much as I can. A lot of my professors will ask me, you know, do you do this or that in your shop? Because as you can see, making knives isn't the most safe thing. So I do what I can to try to connect the safety management aspect of that into my knives as well.
From the beginning, was this all about your creativity? Or when you get into something like this, do you have to have certain angles right and certain corners right and follow some kind of pattern?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people like to say I'm an artist, which, you know, I guess probably am. It's not something I look at myself as. I just like to create things, which, you know, maybe it does make me an artist. But it kind of got a lot of mechanical side to me. I got also a lot of business side to me. You know, I was always a kid selling gum in high school. I went through a lot of woodworking phases, and then now I got into the metal phases. And so I think it's just, I'm someone that likes to make things and create things. And definitely that mechanical side, that, you know, creating something out of metal from nothing, it just kind of related to me in a lot of different ways. I think it's why it took off so much.
So your episode just aired on Wednesday night, the 17th. Talk about what it's like. First of all, from the production end of things, so we'll talk about that. And then I want the reality of what it's like working in such hot conditions, because it's not like you're working with ice cream. You have some heat flying at you. Yeah. So, you know, let's talk about the production element first. What's it like to be in a production like this?
Yeah, it was, you know, a unique experience. I think it's something that you can't really explain to someone if they've never gone through it. You know, it's TV. It's kind of what you'd expect. They do a good job making it seem like it was all filmed in a day, whereas, you know, it's a couple of days of filming, you know, 12-hour days, it was long. But, you know, turned out for a good episode. It's kind of crazy watching that episode. It's only, you know, 30, 40 minutes long, and knowing that I spent days filming and thinking back and seeing what gets cut out, what stays in, and all that. So, you know, production is kind of what you'd expect. The actual challenge itself, the reality side of it, it's pretty legit. The clock doesn't pause at any point. Even in that mid-competition, they'll pull you aside and do a quick side interview during your time. It is, as soon as that clock hits its point, it's done. There's no leeway there whatsoever. You got what you got. So that side, you know, I'm glad it's that way. It really is a competition. There's nothing easy about it. A lot of us knife makers don't make knives in 3 hours. You know, we spend days working on stuff. And so getting put in that environment with a clock, you know, counting down on you, judges staring at you, array of camera crew pointing cameras at you. It was mentally, you know, probably the most challenging thing about that. I know a lot of my competitors, you know, we had talked about that. It's just you get in your head about it. It's also, obviously, like you said, getting very hot. We're working next to four forges that are, you know, upwards of 2,300 degrees. So it's a lot of external factors that really kind of play a role, and I think a lot of guys compete on there. I know it worked for me as I just tried to block it all out. I never looked up my work. I just kind of kept my eyes on what I was doing and ignored everything else around me.
So my next question folds right into that, because if you're focused and you're trying to get done what you need to do, yet cameras are around all the time, do they catch you at in moments unbeknownst to you? Do they come up to you and say, hey, can you talk about this topic for a moment? Do they just catch you making comments to each other? Like, how is that formed?
Yeah, so during the actual competition, every Smith had to take one side interview, just kind of talk about how the process is going. Then everything else, all the commentary you'll see on the show, that's filmed afterwards. We just talk in, you know, present tense, going back, and we talk about everything we did, even though we already did it. So that kind of made all that commentary. So, but yeah, the cameras, they pretty much catch everything. There's camera guys to every person. They'll be on their knees pointing up at you when you're working. They're behind you. They're in front of you. They're all over the place.
Which takes an extra amount of focus, I would think. And I say that knowing how cameras can be, even just in the broadcast industry, when you're trying to do your job and you know somebody's around you with the camera, it could take your eye off the ball.
Oh, absolutely. It makes you, you know, think 10 times more about what you're doing. You know, you don't want to mess up on camera. I feel like kind of goes
right
for everyone.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of the reality of, especially this show, there's a lot of little mess ups and, you know, fixes you got to make. And so you just kind of got to get over that, at least in my opinion.
Because, you know, the mistakes, that's what's going to be shown.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That does make for good TV. So what did we not see? Can you share anything of what you didn't see? Was it a mistake? Did something go wrong? Did you have to start all over? You know, like those kinds of things that had to end up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately for myself, for anyone that's seen the episode, or if you haven't, you know, I suggest seeing it. It really went well for me. I honestly didn't run into any mistakes. I didn't get any harsh critiques from the judges about anything I made. It honestly couldn't have gone more perfect, in my opinion, for myself. I don't know if that was luck or, you know, skill behind that. You never know. Maybe I'll go back again and fail at it. You know what I mean? But it really, it went well for me. I don't think I would go back and change anything I did there.
And not that we have any confirmation of this, but these kinds of shows do that a lot where they bring back the winners. So that'd be interesting if you could end up on it again.
Yeah, if they asked me to come out for a Champion of Champions, it'd be hard to say no.
Right.
Full experience to go back.
Did you know the judges, again, I go from my experience of watching these shows, and sometimes you'll see the contestants say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that so-and-so. Did you know who was judging you, or were you just there because of the story that you mentioned? They contacted you, you tried this out, and here you are.
Oh yeah, I knew of them. I mean, initially getting into Forged and Fire, or getting into knife making, I knew of Forged and Fire. It was, you know, a huge part of me getting into it. What it's an awesome show. Who doesn't like that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
everyone likes
yeah.
the idea of making a knife like that. And so I was very familiar with it, very familiar with the judges. There's actually four judges, but only three go at a time. And so I got the original three judges, which is really cool. And just walking out on the forge floor, going out there for the first time, standing behind the anvil and just seeing the judges, seeing the host, it was a surreal experience. I really can't emphasize that to anyone enough. I felt like, you know, I was watching TV, but I was there in real life. It was crazy. You know, they're really nice guys. They're super fun to work with. So I couldn't have asked for better judges there.
How did you keep a straight face and not turn into a 2-year-old and being all giddy like, hey, look, there you are.
Yeah. I think I might have done that a little bit. It might just not have made the cut.
That was a surreal moment. You're there and then you go all the way through. You win the whole entire thing. What did you win?
Yeah, so winning that, you get the title of Forge and Fire Champion, which, in my opinion, you know, the cool part. Then you get a check for $10,000.
Oh, just a $10,000 check.
So, you know, that might be a little nice to have.
That might be nice to have, because you're still in school at Slippery Rock University.
Yeah. So I got another year, so definitely I'm not complaining about that check.
Right. So you're a senior this year, is that right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So what? Tell me about your future then. Do you have anything? You may have a vision, but maybe this show will change that a little bit. I don't know. But what if the show wasn't there, what are you thinking about for your future?
Yeah, with knives aside, I'm going to follow my career in safety management. Spent the last 3 months out in Washington, D.C. working for a construction company as a safety management intern. And so finally got some real-life experience with the degree. It's a you know, it was a solid job. I had, you know, it actually showed me what the job was, and I definitely see myself doing that. So, you know, knives aside, I got an offer from the company. I don't see why I wouldn't go and stick with that.
Fantastic. Talk about, if you don't mind, what it means to you that social media played a role. A lot of times, you know, people will be negative against social media, and I understand that. But then there's this side where you were just sharing your love of this hobby or this passion of yours, and it turned into a unique experience.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Social media has played an absolutely huge role for me. I think, you know, where the world's going, social media is just getting bigger and bigger. It's given me an opportunity to, you know, push my work and show my hobby. Through TikTok, I'm sure you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
I have like 570,000+ followers on there. So I've grown a fairly large following through that app, just posting random satisfying, fun things I just do in my shop while I'm working. And that's helped me grow a ton, you know, get more eyes in my work and obviously people from Forge and Fire to see it. So I got nothing against social media. There's a lot of obviously bad sides to it, but you know, there's bad sides to everything. There's ups and downs to everything there is. So kind of from my perspective, I love social media and what it allows me to do.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to have a few more followers.
I'm just thinking.
I'm guessing.
Maybe. It's my play role.
Well, I really hope the best for you as you continue forward, whether it's in this, maybe the show changes your life in some way that you didn't realize, or maybe it's just that you go forward with your career plans. But that's fantastic. I'm sure you're going to get everybody from Seneca Valley, everybody from Lutherland, because that's where you, took the blacksmithing class at Camp Lutherland in Prospect. Yeah, that.
Yep.
And then, of course, everyone at Slippery Rock University. So any final thoughts you want to share with us before I let you go today?
Yeah, I don't know. Just, you know, thankful for everyone that's watched the episode and everyone that's just been following my work. You know, I can't be where I'm at without the people that, you know, watch what I do and, you know, support me. So, you know, thankful for everyone, especially my family. My mom, you know, tolerating me setting up in her garage and creating a ton of dust everywhere.
As a mom, really I'm laughing.
I'm sure you were. Yeah, family's been everything. They've helped me out a lot. If you see the episode, it was dedicated to my Uncle Chuck. He was a huge you know, part in me getting into knife making in the first place. So family really helped me a lot through here.
Uncle Chuck, is he still with us?
Yes, he is. He when I first got into knife making, he got me my first anvil, my first forged belt sander. He really, you know, had faith in me, and the only thing he ever asked me to do in return was to get on Forge and Fire. And so I dedicated the episode to him, and you know, it was exciting to finally get to see that, and he got to see it last night too. So,
oh my gosh, I say guarantee, and I don't know him. I don't know you very well other than this conversation, right? And I'll bet when he told you that, you thought, yeah, in a million years, I'm going to end up on Forged and Fire.
Exactly. What was the main idea? He was the main reason I went on to it.
What was his reaction?
I unfortunately didn't get to watch it with him. He's a couple hours away, but I got text this morning saying he was overwhelmed.
He was cheering you on. Oh, that's so much fun. Absolutely. Great connection. Again, TikTok is your main social platform. Is that right?
Instagram is.
Are they both Finch for Fun?
That's my TikTok is Finch for Fun. My Instagram is Finches_Ford. Instagram is where I post a lot more of my professional side of it. TikTok's more just the random fun things about it.
Gotcha. Very good. Hey, thank you so much for your time today. Congratulations, absolutely, Eric. It was such a pleasure talking to you. Pleasure watching you. And I'm really glad that you had a lot of fun. And now that you're the champion.
Yeah, and I appreciate it a ton.
So, folks, if you want to watch this, again, it's on the History Channel. So catch that. It did air on the 17th, but I'm sure on all the apps, if you're a part of History Channel and you can access that, you can see that with Eric Finch. All right. If you would like to hear our conversation, again, I am going to point you to our website, which is WISR680.com. And what you're going to do is you're going to pick programs, drop that down to Extended News at Noon, and that's where you're going to hear our program today. All right, many thanks to Eric for joining us, and thank you for joining us as well. I'm Tracy Morgan with the Butler Radio Network.